Children, thank you. This is their place too. This is their house too. John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, it's all right. There's one in the pew rack in front of you. Go ahead and grab that or use your phone, whatever you prefer. John chapter 14. We're going to be starting in, well, there's going to be a lot of this chapter, but we're going to start here in verse number 9. I believe. Well, start in verse 6. Let's start in verse 6. We'll start in verse 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 10, and I'm going to read the even numbers, and you are going to read the odd numbers. So have you found John chapter 14? Yes. Okay, Brother Jim found it, Miss Heather did. Okay, or Miss Linda did. Okay, amen. Have you found John 14? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Jesus said unto him, now he's talking to the apostles here and to Thomas specifically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, today we ask for you to speak. Speak clearly, plainly, distinctly to each of us. Father, each person in here has different needs and different circumstances in their life, and they need you today. They need a touch from you today, Father. Nothing fancy from me, but from you directly. I pray, God, you would speak to every heart and every life. And God, as we look to your word, revive us, stir us, show us what is true and how to live. And if there's one among us who's lost, God, give them the courage, give them the conviction and convincing. They need you as their Savior today. May they call upon you and be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Now, I've been teaching on a series, as you know, Walking with God. You can see it on the screen behind us. This is why I say we are not in a philosophy, nor are we in a tradition. We are in a relationship with a real being. And in the Bible, when it talked about walking with someone, or it was talking about your relationship and your fellowship, your interaction, your intimacy, your accord, your harmony, how you're getting along with them. And so God speaks to us. Now, the first truth I taught you several weeks ago is that God always initiates contact, right? He is the one who took the initiative. And I've told you this before, but I'm going to say it again. Some of you have said, no, I was seeking God. No, God was pulling on you, and that's why you wanted to seek him. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except, or come unto me except my Father draw them. If you can imagine a lasso around your heart, and God is pulling and pulling and pulling. And that's why you say to yourself, well, I was seeking him. That's because God was going, I want you to know me. God's not hiding. God is not, he's not some aloof being. He's real, and he wants you to know him. Now, when this happened, listen, God gave us the instructions on how to have not only a relationship, but intimacy. And with these instructions on how to have intimacy with him, he's left the invitation open for you to choose. He said, I'm already on board with this idea. I already want a relationship with you. I already want intimacy with you, but I am not going to force you to do anything. I'm leaving it open to you. Now, that was the first message. God initiates, God gives instructions, and then it's an invitation. The second thing I taught you was that God is more interested in the person you're becoming than the things you're doing, right? Because when you go to heaven, all of your works, all of your accolades, all of your titles, I told you recently when I moved from that office over to here, I found a whole stack of business cards from different companies and different things I used to do. And so all of those titles are obsolete now because I don't do I can still do the work, but I don't do that anymore during the, you know, that's not what I do. I'm pastoring now. So, you know, all of that stuff that I was good at, well, a lot of it's at the Smithsonian. I mean, really, it's on display, right? But the truth is that's not what goes to heaven. the person you become in Jesus Christ. That's who God is going to spend eternity with. Take a look there at John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Listen, the truth I want you to understand today is that God wants to have a relationship with you, you as an individual, you as a person. He wants you to know him. You are going to spend eternity with him. You are part of the household of God. If you know Jesus as your Savior, say amen. You are part of the household of God. There is a place for you in heaven. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're going to do eternity together up there. But God also wants to do life together down here. As you walk with God, that's what I'm talking about. God wants to do life with you. So today I want to teach you that God wants to speak with you. Now, I predate the cell phone age, all right? And so when my parents wanted to talk to me after school, they would call the office at the school and send a note. And some teacher would walk down the, or some office that walked down the hall, interrupt the teacher and hand me a note that said, I want to talk to you when you get out of school. Of course, my whole class would go, ooh, you're busted. You know, have you ever had that, right? You know, I want to talk to you. And we'd all be like, ah, right? I don't, not just because we're embarrassed because our friends saw it, but we're like dreading the idea of, I got to go home. No, I can't go hang out. I got to go home. Why? Because mom wants to talk to me. And I think a lot of people think that's how God is. They think that God is just sitting up there waiting for an opportunity to whoop you. No, that is not how it works. God is compassionate. You know what's beautiful about the book of Hebrews? It says in Hebrews chapter 4 that God has walked a mile in your shoes. He knows what it's like to be you. He knows what it's like to have gone through puberty and high school and college. And he knows what it's like to work all day. He knows what it's like to have people malign you in public. And treat you poorly. Right? Undeservedly. He knows what it's like to be us. God isn't sitting up there looking for a time to spank you. No, he looks down with compassion. And he says, I want to talk to you. I'm pleading with you. Now, in Hebrews, it says that in the Old Testament, God spoke in all different ways. But look at this. Go to Hebrews. Let's just look at it so you can see it for yourself. Hebrews chapter 1. It's after Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And before you get to James and 1st, 2nd Peter, you'll find Hebrews. Hebrews is a pretty lengthy book, but it's a good one. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners, that means at different times and different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. It's true. We know this to be true. I mean, we've heard of the burning bush. We've heard of the visions of Daniel. We've heard of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. We've heard of the angels that spoke directly to Gideon and to Samson's parents. And, you know, and sometimes I think it would be kind of easier if God had just, you know, talked to us, you know, kind of direct like that, we think. But the truth is, in these days, look at it. In the past, talked to fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He sent Jesus to be the message and the messenger. I mean, people by and large have a hard time with the idea that God speaks to you. I mean, let's face it. You go to work tomorrow and just out of nowhere, you just kind of random go, listen, I met with the Lord this morning and he spoke with me. I talked to the Lord today. I heard God's voice today. Your cube mates are going to ask if you took your meds, right? Or do you want to borrow some of theirs? Think about it. How many of you have got the guts to go, well, I met with the Lord this morning and I was telling him about your struggle. Well, I'm looking forward to see what he's going to do with that. But it's true. God speaks to us personally, specifically. He wants to talk to us. See, in the Old Testament, I understand the Old Testament had the New Testament concealed inside. Because when you're reading the New Testament, every other verse is like, and thus saith the prophet, and thus fulfilled Isaiah. And Isaiah said this would happen. Because the New Testament is the Old Testament open wide and revealed. Yeah. Okay? But the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed inside. So in the Old Testament, they knew about the blood sacrifice as a substitute for our sins. Genesis 4, Abel offered a firstling of the flock and it was accepted, where Cain offered the works of his hands, the fruit of the ground, and he was rejected. They knew about the Savior in Job chapter 19. By the way, Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Of all 66 books of the Bible, Job was written first. It's just not in chronological. You understand, the Bible's in thematic order, not chronological order. Job was written about the time Abraham's grandpa lived. And what happened is God told Job, there is a Savior. He said in Job 19:25, he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." You understand? He said, my Redeemer's coming. The one that will redeem me back from my sins. He knew about salvation. Job also knew about the resurrection in the next verse, Job 19:26. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." I'm going to get a new body. See, the Old Testament knew, all those people knew about the things you and I kind of take for granted. They knew about the end times. They knew about all these things because God has spoken in different ways and at different times, and people shared that knowledge together. Well, in these last days, Hebrews chapter 1, God has spoken to us by his Son. Look at verse number 3 of Hebrews 1. Who, speaking of Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. When Jesus spoke, it was God speaking. Look what it says. It says that, "And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." When God chose to reveal himself, he came in bodily form as Jesus Christ. He is God. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. That's how he can redeem us. And he came. You understand? Are you tracking with me? So when Jesus spoke, as we read a little earlier, it was the Father speaking through him. Well, let's go back. Go to John 14, where you were before. John 14 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Jesus said unto him," speaking unto Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." He's saying, when you heard me speak, that's the word of God. That's God the Father speaking through me. And the works that I do, the miracles I'm doing, this is God the Father working through me. All right, look at verse number 16. "And I will pray the Father." Now, Jesus knew he was going to die and rise again and ascend. He says in verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Drop down to verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." This is a big deal now, y'all. God wants you to know him. So God has given you his word, as we'll look at in a minute. And when you trusted Christ as your Savior, he gave you the Holy Spirit inside you so that you could understand it. And look, you have every opportunity to understand this book as I do. With the Holy Spirit inside you, the Word of God in front of you, and a good dictionary on your phone, you got it. You can understand it. God is not hiding from you. God is not aloof. God wants to talk to you. God loves you. And again, I think sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, we get in the car, we're with our spouse, and they go, "Can we talk?" We're like, "Oh, here it comes. I've messed up again." And I think people come to the Bible and go, "Oh, man, I've messed up again. I guess he's going to have something harsh to say because I messed up again." No. No. God's compassionate. He knows you, and he loves you. And so God wants you to hear from him. He wants you to know what he's like. He wants you to know what he's doing. He wants you to know what he thinks. And listen, you can know him. You can know what he says. Now look back here in John 14, then verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, the crazy thing is, the next verse, Judas saith unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If. It's only got two letters, but it's powerful. The word if means I'm leaving the choice up to you. I'm standing on go, ready to manifest myself. I'm ready to talk to you. I'm ready to give you the truth. I'm ready to comfort you and to walk through life with you and to encourage you and to lift you up and to give you purpose and to give you something beyond yourself and make you something part of bigger than yourself. But I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to put you in a headlock and make you. If. So when you think to yourself, well, God ain't never spoke to me. Well, every time you sit in the preaching of the Word of God or you read it, you're hearing from God. You're not hearing from me. If I'm reading this book, this is the Word of God, not me. You don't have to obey me. You don't have to line up your thinking with me. You probably shouldn't. I'll make mess of things. But the book, amen. What does it say? See, in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if it speaks not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And God has said, I'm going to speak to you from my word. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you to understand it. I'm not trying to hide. So the thing is, what if you're reading something and it doesn't line up with the book? We do it. We read. We listen to podcasts. We listen to videos on YouTube. There's some good stuff out there. But what do you do with the stuff that conflicts with this? Well, if it conflicts with this, it didn't come from God, because God doesn't stutter, right? God doesn't have to change his mind. Actually, Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, "I'm the Lord thy God. I change not." So that this is a living book. It applies to every area of your life, every year of your life. But the question still remains, if, verse 23, if a man will love me and keep my words. That word keep means to hold them close and revere them and believe them and follow them. My Father will love him and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, a lot of people struggle with the concept of salvation being so simple, so free. But have you ever had somebody kind of stay with you at your apartment or your house and you actually didn't know they were there? Right? I mean, that's silly. You'd know they were there, right? Kind of creepy if you don't, though, right? Let's just be real, right? Now, that's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, if I ever thought of one. I just thought of that, right? That's scary. But I mean, truthfully, you invite somebody to stay with you, you know they're there. You know when they're there. You know they're around, right? It's the same thing. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. You know. Now, if you're not sure, I want to give you the ability to be sure. I want you to put a stake in the ground and be able to know, hey, based on Scripture, I know that I know that I know. Amen. Right? That's a wonderful feeling to know that, hey, because I don't always feel Christian-y. How many of you woke up this morning and had a struggle not feeling Christian-y? Trying to work with the kids, right? Trying to get them out the doors, kind of losing your joy. I used to say that to my boys. You are robbing my life of joy. Right? You're going to be a joy putter in her, not a joy sucker outer. What? Oh, man. It's true. It's true. All right. So when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not about our feelings. The feelings come later. It's the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And that's it. And that when I put my faith and trust in him, I repent by turning from my sin to him. That didn't make me perfect. I know. All right? Now, it says in verse 24, he's going to keep company with me. Look at this. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which has sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, I love that. Jesus is speaking, but it's the Father speaking through him. You know, Jesus, what's crazy is Jesus walked on this earth and he taught. Thousands of people would show up and he would do miracles. But then many of them would just walk away unaffected, unchanged, unconvinced. You can understand why it's hard for your family sometimes when you're witnessing to them. You know, Jesus had thousands who showed up for the show, not the message. It's the message that changed the lives. In fact, one time Jesus preached a really tough message and the multitudes just left, walked out. And Jesus turned to his 12 apostles and said, are you going to go away too? And they're like, where can we go? You're the one with the words of life. And again, Jesus isn't interested in you wondering. He wants you to know. He wants to reveal it all to you. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit. In Romans 16, it says he made it manifest. Now take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And now let's look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That means none of the world's philosophers, none of the world's, and I love science, don't get me wrong, I'm just saying, but scientists and their theories and the philosophies and society's ideas and mores and things of that nature can't even touch or bring anything close to what God has for you. That's so awesome. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Do you see that? Yeah. Look at it. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now look at that next verse, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Stop right there. What does that mean? Aren't you glad you can't read other people's minds?
Amen.
Yes. But nobody knows your mind like you, right? Nobody knows what you're thinking like you know what you're thinking. In the same manner, nobody knows what God's thinking except his own spirit. Look at this now. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God knows what the Heavenly Father is thinking about you? Amen. Did you know that? God thinks thoughts about you. I think if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Right? I think so. If God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. God thinks thoughts about you. And the only person who knows what that is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. He can tell you. God's not trying to hide. Yes, God took the initiative and he spoke. Yes, God gave us instructions on how to have intimacy. And he left the if to us. Do you want it or not? I'm not going to make you. Number four, he said, I gave you all 625 different names of God for you to get to know me a little better so you can trust me more. And now I want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear from me. How do I do that? Through the word. That's how I hear. That's how I hear from God. He is the one who spoke it. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about that which is perfect or complete, speaking of the word of God that come. God is not adding to this book anymore. In the book of the Revelation, if you're looking for that verse, it's Revelation 22, verses 18 through 20, that he is not, there's no additions to this book. It was completed when John wrote the book of the Revelation. So the first truth for today is God speaks to you from the book through the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit inside you with the Word of God in front of you, he wants to talk to you. Every time you open the book, he wants you to hear.
Amen.
Open the Bible each day and go, God, I'm listening. I'm listening. Talk to me. Because everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. So even in the Old Testament, you need to ask yourself, where's Jesus? Because as in type, in reference, in teaching, in principle, where is Jesus? The second truth for today is that the message is Jesus. That in him we have everything we need to meet our needs. And he'll come to us and comfort us. But the third truth is, it is the Spirit of God that leads us. He wants you to know. And so when you're reading your Bible and you come across something that doesn't quite make sense, what you need to do is make a note. And then you think, well, I'll ask the preacher when I get to church. But the truth is, you'll probably run across the answer a little farther down. God has an incredible way of doing that. So in John chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, and whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come." We cannot in and of ourselves understand like we should. So God sent the Spirit to do it. Look at John 16 and verse 13, or verse 14. "He shall glorify me." That means when you're reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit is going to point and magnify Christ in everything. Do you see that? He'll glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So when the Holy Spirit speaks and works in your life, he's going to work through the book. When the Holy Spirit of God works in your life, you're going to see Jesus on every page. When the Holy Spirit works in your life, he's going to lead you to glorify Christ with your life. Now take your Bible, look at John 14 again. Verse 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I think sometimes people think God is condemning in the way he deals with us. Now, I know it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." But whether through our earthly parents or through a bad example in our lives, we have a tendency to think that when Jesus said that was, "Look, Philip, doggone it, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man, all right, do you understand me, Philip?" And we think that's how God talks to us. That is not how God said that. I want you to think of him from a standpoint of compassion, with wounds in his hands and the scars on his in his brow and the wounds in his feet, going, "Philip, I'm the way. Philip, everything else is a lie. It doesn't lead to me. I'm the truth. All the rest of it are lies and counterfeits. I'm the life. I don't want you to die for me, Philip. I love you. I want you to live for me so I can live with you." You know, we're going to be in eternity for all heaven. We're going to do eternity with Jesus. He'd like to do life with you now, not just wait till you get to eternity. You know, in like manner, you know, when you come to this book and you're reading the book, I want you to understand, I want you to envision Christ with the crown of thorn marks on his head and the wounds in his hands and his side, pleading with us, saying, "Hey, I died for you. Don't come to this book as a list of do's or don'ts or rituals or ceremonies. No. I want you to come to it as a love letter from me to you." Everything in this book's not always just written about you, but it's good for you. And you'll learn from it if you'll let me teach you. That's all God's saying. He's not coming at you as an angry, angry father. He's coming as a compassionate, loving Savior going, "I got something for you. I got something for you." And I think to myself, how can we be flippant about this? I mean, seriously, how would you feel if you came to my house, knocked on the door and went, "I need you to take me to the hospital," because you're like, you know, you got blood poking out of somewhere, all right? And you're like, "I need you to take me to the hospital." What if I went, "You know, I just don't got time, dude. Check with the neighbor." I'd love to, but I got that meeting at, I got so many emails to read, I would, right? We're cool, right? As you shut the door. Now, you and I would never do that. But it's not, Pastor Mix you're ignoring when you walk by your Bible. It's not First Baptist Church of Kingstown you're ignoring. It's the one with the wounds in his hands and feet for you and I. It should have been my beard plucked out of my face. It should have been my face spit in. It should have been my back tore up with the cat of nine tails. It should have been my brow they pressed the thorns into. It should have been my back that carried the weight of the cross. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just trying to explain to you, nobody loves you like Jesus does. Amen. Nobody. And that is what's supposed to motivate us. See, the problem is a lot of times we get this idea that I just have to work harder and do more so that I can love him more. No. No. If you'll realize how much you are loved, if you'll just focus on that, it's not hard to respond. It's not hard to respond back to him in love. The more you understand it. I mean, the truth is that's how we're supposed to be motivated, to realize how much we're loved. Let that motivate you. For the love of Christ constraineth us, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Why? Because verse 15 says, because we thus judge. We did the math. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. But in that he liveth, henceforth we live not unto ourselves, but we live unto him that died and rose again. You know, I have life today, eternal life today, because he was willing to die for me. He took my place. Why wouldn't I trust him? He took my place. Why wouldn't I follow salvation with baptism? He took my place. Why wouldn't I read his word? He took my place. Why wouldn't I talk to him? He took my place. Why wouldn't I share my faith and tithe? Why wouldn't I do that? I mean, he endured the mobs. I can endure the skeptics at work. He walked up Calvary's Hill, the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering with his own cross. I can endure the ride to church. I mean, if it were Jesus standing at your door going, I just want to spend some time with you, would you deny him? I mean, he gave up his life to pay for my sins. Why would I not give up the sinful things in my life that keep me out of fellowship with him? I'm the way. John, that's what he says to me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. There's no other way. There's no other truth in the life. Why? I did this so you could have life. Come to the Father. I'm the way. How can I walk away from that? So, God wants to speak with you. And it's not in condemnation. It's in love and compassion and grace. He has a message for you. But he does want you, he does leave the response up to you. How will you respond to the message you get from your scripture? Are there other priorities that we're going to set ahead of that? People say, well, I don't believe a loving God would send anyone to hell. You don't understand. A person goes to hell by stepping through the blood of Jesus over the beat up and scarred body of Jesus, past the trembling, pleading hands with holes in it, and through the lips that say, I love you, come to me, straight into the pit. That's how it works. What'd God ever do for me? Well, where would you like me to start? Because that's it. No one's ever loved us like this. And he wants you to know him. He understands it's hard to trust him. But it's because we don't know him very well. Amen. And he's not trying to hide. So he speaks to us. And every time we come to this book, we need to understand that he just wants to give us something we need for today. So we can do life together today. And so when he speaks through this book, the Holy Spirit of God inside of us gives us understanding. So like we do an invitation every service. Do you know why? Because we want you to have that moment while it's fresh in your mind, while it's fresh in your heart, to say, God, what are you saying to me? What is it you got for me? And then for you to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do with it? How do you want, God wants you to apply things he gives you for your benefit, for your good and his glory. He wants it for you. He wants what's best. He knows what's best. And so every time we have an invitation, it is for you to take a second, come down here and say, God, I was listening. He said something about this or the other. And Father, what do you want me to do with that? How do I apply it? How do I live it? Is there some, did you bring my friend to mind while I was sitting in the pew because he needs Jesus? Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about how that person needs. How am I supposed to bring it to him? What am I supposed to say? Whatever the need is, Jesus is the answer. Whatever the question is, the answer is found in the Word. And no matter how hard it may seem to apply it, it's the Holy Spirit who has to empower you to do it. God is not expecting you to do this in and of yourself, by yourself. He wants to go with you. Won't you let God speak to you? It says in John 14, 2 and 3 that we're going to spend eternity up there. But in the meantime, God would like to do life down here. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God speaks. He wants to speak to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure what that means, or if you died today, you're not sure you'd wake up in heaven because of this problem or this sin or whatever, I want you to know you can know for sure today that you have been forgiven of all your past, present, and future sins too, because the blood of Christ cleanseth us. If you will just take a moment and pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't get to heaven by being good. I've tried. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus died and shed his blood for me. Save me, because I believe. Now, Heavenly Father, if anyone prayed that prayer, give them the courage to share that with their friends so that they'll know that they're saved. And Father, for us, your children who already know you, as we come to your word, as we take this time of prayer, stir us, show us, shake us if you have to, and show us how to apply it and live it for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. Won't you come? Dads, lead your family. Moms, Come. Talk to the Lord. Say, God, me. What would you have me do, God? What would you have me do?
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do.
If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven?
I just want you.
Listen to this next phrase.
I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I sang another song. Take me back to where we started.
Christian.
I open up my heart.
That's it.
To you.
Do you just need a fresh start with a new heart? It's as simple as just saying, I'm sorry. I've made it about me.
I'm sorry.
I need a reset, Dad. That's all you got to say. Father, I need a reset.
Agenda,
I need a refresh.
I'm sorry.
I've gotten off track.
when I forgot,
and he receives you, he will.
Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave.
Our Father and our God, I'm thankful that you always welcome us back. You always open your arms and welcome us back to your presence to learn, to be comforted, to be consoled, to be encouraged. And Father, you never turn us away. Thank you, Father, for loving us like no one else can. And today, God, we praise you. Praise you. Glorify yourself in us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Just